Hey, thank you for tapping into her lifestyle. Also, Rhonda's journey. And welcome to my podcast and my YouTube. Thank you for, again, stopping by and supporting me. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. And today, I am giving you a story time of my life as my first serious job, of how I had to get there, how I pushed myself to get there, and I seen more for myself. So if you see me looking to the side, I'm also doing my podcast too, and also over here is Facebook, and I'm working on, my YouTube also. So you guys are going to get some videos today, as you can see. So I don't remember my ages. I don't remember how old I was, but I had all my kids. I have three beautiful kids. They're older now, but this is when they were very, very younger. And my daughter, yeah, I had my daughter, my son, and I had my other son. So they were, well, he was a baby. I remember him being a baby baby. So I woke up one morning and I was on welfare with three kids. I didn't have to be on welfare because, my kid's father was very supportive, but I felt like I needed to be independent. So I knew I wasn't going to be on there for long, but I needed to get some assistance for myself and for my kids. So it helped me at the time, and I'm glad that I went through it just like I expressed that I never take L's in my life. They are learning lessons to mold me into the woman that I am today. And I wouldn't take anything that I did, the choices that I made back in my life at all. So this particular day, I remember it was morning time, and well, let me back up. I had signed up for welfare when I was, pregnant. I used to always throw up before going in a bill. And I remember, if you're from California, it was like on Broadway Street, then across the street from a school. And I remember just being sick to my stomach every time I got off the bus, because then you had to go in and fill out this big ass packet. And my sister-in-law helped me. Thank God she had helped me, and she had knew already because she had my niece, or I would have been lost. But I remember just throwing up every time I walked into an appointment, dropping off my paperwork. I just threw up. I just couldn't, like, I don't know. Like, I'm not saying I was like too good for it. No, I just knew that I had to be uncomfortable in order for me to push myself to get comfortable. And I've always been a serious person. I really don't have a sense of humor at times. I just started getting a sense of humor, but I was for real, like, for real. Like, it was no laughing plan. I got three kids by choice. I was very happy. You know what I'm saying? But far as the financial, my financial freedom, my credit, and all that, I had to think about all that now. And I, as women, we don't think about that, but that will take you far. Your credit alone will take you far. So this is when they had phone pages, like the yellow pages. So I woke up one morning, and I'm going to keep expressing this. I've always been a spiritual woman. And I remember my dad walking in there saying, like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm looking through the pages. I'm about to get me a job. And he was like, oh, okay. I always worked, so I never had a problem. But it was like always temporary. But this particular time, I don't know why I was off. But I knew, like, I'm about to look in this page, this yellow page, and find me a job today. Okay? It was like I was at my wit's end. It wasn't enough for three kids. I don't remember how much I was getting, but it's never enough. Especially when you want to do things. I'm the type, I will go without. I'm sorry, I will go without. My kids will be, you know, first, and we will be doing what we need to do. But at the end of the day, my kids will be taken care of. And of course, the dad was very involved. Their dad was very, very involved. Like, I don't know if we were, we probably were together. Our relationship was just so off and on. I really don't remember. But no, we were probably not. I don't know. But I remember looking in the Yellow Pages. I woke up that morning after I prayed and stuff. And I was looking through the Yellow Pages. And I was like, just God, just talking to God, like, lead me to something that's going to change my life. Like, I need a job. And if you give me something that's going to take care of me and my three kids, I'm going to be set. Like, I'm going to, I just had it all planned out. You couldn't tell me that I wasn't going to find a job. So, the first thing that hit was Berkeley Housing Authority. And I'm like, I called them. I sold myself. I was like, hi, you know, this is Rhonda. I'm looking to see if you guys have any volunteer positions available. Because to me, that made sense. I can't just go in there because I didn't have a job posted, but I could get in there and show them that I had skills by volunteering. I just needed to get my foot in the door at this point. All you got to do is just let me get my foot in the door and I'm going to show up and show out with my skills. I already knew I had that down packed. You know what I'm saying? So that one phone call, having a like a conversation with the lady. It was a white lady. I don't know her name at the time that I had started talking to and telling her. She said, come in and just talk to us. We need some help filing. And I was like, okay, that's fine. Bam. So like I went in and I remember my mom driving me there. And she was like, just sell yourself. She said, just keep smiling through it all. Just keep smiling. She's always taught me to. Even when it hurts, you just walk in there and smile and sell yourself. We prayed before I got out the car. She said, you got it. Mind you, they didn't even have a job. Like, it wasn't a job posted. And I'm telling you, this all happened in a day of me just looking in the phone book. So I'm like, okay. I walked in, killed the little interview. She said, I'll call you in about a couple of days. I'm going to talk it over with the CEO there and see if we can get you in to be a volunteer. And I was like, okay, cool, bet. I just kept, like, next days passed. I kept looking through the paper, calling the City of Berkeley parking. I was calling anybody that was, like, to me, it made sense to call people that was, like, had a big business. You know what I'm saying? That was, like, a city job. They always need help, Rhonda. Like, don't think they don't. Like, they always need somebody to file. And it wasn't welfare to work. It wasn't that. It was just me calling. Because I don't even think at that time they had a such thing as welfare to work. It was me just wanting better for myself. And I was determined. I'm a very determined person. So I think, like, I don't like to be slept on. You're not going to sleep on me. So the next interview, it was the lady wanting me to meet the CEO. And I remember my kid's father taking me and he was like, you got it. Like, don't worry. They thinking all this time that it was like a job interview. And I was telling them like, no, this is just something for me to get my foot in the door. That's all I need. I was like, God, I just need to get my foot in the door and I could just win, charm somebody. It's okay. Like, I'm not worried about that. So she was like, okay, we're going to schedule you for 5 days a week. I met her. Me and her just got along. Like, we got along. Like, she was an African-American woman. And this woman gave me a chance. They made up a position. They were like, you could start up as filing. They were, like, behind in their filing. I went in there, like, the next week I started. Mind you, I'm not getting paid. I just went in and started filing. It was, like, from 9 in the morning. Yeah, it was 9 in the morning to, like, I want to say to 1 or something like that. It was, like, 4 hours of me just doing nothing. So, but showing myself. Every day I had to show myself. And the women in there were just so like, oh, hi. Mind you, I had a Section 8 voucher at the time, so I knew them, but they didn't recognize me because I wasn't dressing up. When, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't myself. I just went in there to drop off my papers. So anybody that see me at the front desk, I'm the lady at the front desk. So hi, you guys, and I hope all is well. So I started volunteering. Months went by. And I would literally go home in tears because, mind you, these women stay far out. They had houses. They were older than me. They were like, oh, you're working here for free? And I was like, yeah. They was like, you good, because I wouldn't. You know, I remember my mom saying, Rhonda, smile and keep handling your business. Don't get close to nobody. Don't make friends. But it's like one person that knew me. And she was really cool. Like, we were just cool. She was cool with me. She worked there. And, but the other women were just kind of like, I was the youngest, you know what I'm saying? But I got good with the CEO. She took me under her wing, and she always looked out for me. Like, I'm probably going to get emotional saying this, like, even speaking this story, because I will go home in tears, because they would say shit like, you working here for free? Like, you come here every day faithfully to what, for free? Yes, I do. For me, I got up and went to show my kids that this is real life. This is what you're supposed to do. I can't sit at home with you all day and not do nothing. I'm the type of person, I have to be doing something productive. So like 6 months went by free, working for free. Then one day she put me in office and she said, oh, we have an intern position. I don't think they had an intern position. I just think my time was running out and she didn't want me to leave. So it was like, let me make up something. And they were like, we have an intern position and we're going to start you off at $15 an hour if you want it. Mind you, that whole time she had been literally took me under my wing and allowed me to see Rhonda for who Rhonda was. You know? And I worked in the back. She said, but it's in the front desk. So the guy just started training me at the front desk. Oh, this is how I got at the front desk. Because a guy that was there started training me, and then he was moving to another job. And she was like, okay, well, Rhonda knows somehow, but I end up getting to the front desk. And God placed me there for a reason. Now, again, like I said, all these women, the workers, they don't live in Berkeley. They was far out. So basically what I did was I started working a front desk, and I think she started me off like at $15 an hour. Could have been $14.50, but it was something. And I went home and I was telling my kids' father and telling my mom, like, I got a job. Like, I really got a job. And the thing was, is I was just happy. Like, that's just me though. I can't speak for anybody else, but it humbled me. It really did humble me. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, okay. I showed out, showed up, came to work every day. I start being the face of the company. Like, everybody that came in and out that place knew me. Not knew me, but they knew me because it was Berkeley. So it was like a curse and a blessing at the same time. Cause they're like, oh, I always was known as C's baby mama, you know? So like a year went by, I was still making my $14. I did not care, honey. It was $14 of, oh, I'm about to be up in here. So the girls started being nice to me, and we all got along. They were all on some mature shit. I appreciate each and every one of them. One of them made me stronger. One of them made me more just, you could do this. You know, they all played a role in my life because, again, I was the youngest one there, and they all was driving nice cars, and just, it was like something to look up to every morning. Like, I'm gonna be one of them in a minute. It's cool because I'm gonna be taking y'all asses out paying for the whole lunch. And they like, oh, okay, we see you. Mind you, the CEO was so nice to me. Like, when I say, like, she groomed me for a City of Berkeley world. You know what I'm saying? And when I say groomed me, I mean, like, from the way you dress, from the way you talk, from the way you look at people, from the eye contact, from everything that had happened in that situation, she helped me along the way. It was never that she looked down on me. Never. She always helped me. In the office meetings, she made me talk. And I hate talking. She made me talk to people. She made me talk about the front desk. How could I help? How could it be more sufficient? How could it, you know, I was really a part. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, okay, this is cool. Like, at first I was like, really, like, just shy, take notes. And then after I'll, you know, take the notes, I would just give her the notes. And, you know, she would be like, oh, thank you. See, like, the little stuff, you go out your way to do the little stuff. They see that type of stuff. So me just by taking notes for her, I wasn't a note keeper. But I'm like, oh, okay. It was like little stuff. Oh, remember to do this. Remember to do that. She would say, oh, I have to remember. I was the one that would just write it down. And then after the meetings, I would give it to her and be like, oh, just because you said that you, you know, oh, I have to remember, I wrote it down for you so you'll know to, this is what you needed to do. Bam. She was like, thank you so much. Like, I really appreciate that. I see you. Like, thank you, Rhonda. And I was like, you're welcome. And she's like, have you ever, do you like the front desk? And I was like, yeah, I like it. It's pretty cool. You know, I'm getting used to it. She would just check in with me. And I was just like, overjoyed again. When I say this lady groomed me, she would take me out to lunch and just talk to me about my life. What do you, where do you see yourself? What do you want to take some class, college classes? Do you want to do this? A person like that will, with that much power, the CEO, like, all I could do is just, like, I'm gonna be like that one day. I'm gonna do that. You know, and just me working for free and humble me. Even when I didn't need to be, because I was already a humble person. When I want to say humble, honey, it humbled me. My mom had to deal with me coming home crying when I didn't get paid. They never knew. So I end up telling her the situation. She was like, oh, wow, that's really impressive. So it just happened. The guy at the front desk was putting in a notice to leave. And the position was open, but she had to post it, you know, first, but even though it's like this, if you have to post it, like, even though you have to post it anywhere, you got to do it. Even though she had already asked me, were you interested in a position? You know what I'm saying? I was doing a position, you know what I'm saying? But it was like, I was at the front desk, but I was at the back, the front. I was just helping everybody. Like, I had my hands in everything. I was helping the workers. I was fouling. I am doing a video, please. I was filing and doing all kind of stuff. So I'm like still trying to keep a leveled head, and I'm still getting my $14.50 an hour. I remember it was $14.50. So after the $14.50, she put me in her office and she was like, hey, I see you're doing good. We have an opening. And she interviewed me for the job. And like, I was just like, oh, okay, that's cool. That's like, I know the job, I'm here. But still, she had to still follow the proper procedures. And she offered me the job. It was like $20 an hour. Girl, do you know how happy I was? Like, I was making $21.75. Benefits, everything. Girl, just by having the motivation to motivate myself to get up and do it, you know? So I was just in there. Like, the whole desk was mine. She said, I want you to change the voicemail. The voicemail had my voice on there. I was helping people. They knew me by name. Again, this is where the problem comes in at, because, hey, you're in there. I'm seeing you at the front desk, people dropping their certification off, and they're seeing me, but you have to see me because I got to make sure every dot is crossed and every T is crossed and I is dotted. I had to go through all the paperwork before I put it in the worker's box. When the worker didn't want to talk to you, it fell on me. They didn't care. Make up something. I'm busy. So it's just like, oh, okay. I promised myself that I would never become that type of person. Working in an environment like that, being from Berkeley. And I never like had pull. I don't know why people just automatically assume like, oh, you work at the housing authority. Can you pull me in and, you know, put my name at the top? I had no, like, that shit don't be there in the building. Like, that's way in San Francisco somewhere. It's not that easy. Like, I get it because, like, when you think about stuff like that, like, you'll think it's inside of that building. That's the building. No, it wasn't that. And that's not how it works. They're not going to have, like, the lotto laid in front of you, no. No, like, you can't do nothing like that. I didn't have that capability, you know? So here I am, like, and then on top of getting raises in between. So she called me in her office again, the boss, and was telling me that, remember I had a voucher. She was saying that basically I was making too much money when my recertification came, and I had to give up my voucher, and luckily, my mom was on my voucher with me, so I didn't give it up. I just gave it to my mom and took my name off. And then my mom just had it, and then me and my kid's father, I think we found a place. We moved, and we had found a place, like, in Berkeley still, because I didn't feel comfortable moving out of Berkeley, but I should have moved out of Berkeley because, well, I was raised, born and raised, so it probably wouldn't have made a difference, but, you know, you can't help everybody. But again, it humbled me. It humbled me to the point where I was known as the lady that said, thank you, have a nice day. And my boss, the CEO, would come by and be like, thank you, have a nice day. And she was like, I love it, Rhonda, just keep it up. Because everybody would always complain about the guy and the girl that was there and the guys that guy that was there. And they just always had a problem with him. So I passed it the voucher to my mom. So it's like, okay, now I'm really gotta show out and show up still for my kids. And I don't have nothing to fall back on. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta work harder now. I gotta work 10 times harder because I want to be moved around in a position. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody would compliment me. She would get emails, and she sent me to classes for customer service. And when I say this lady was just like God sent, she was God sent. And people come in your life for a reason. Now, the women there, they were very nice. Like I said, I've always looked up to them. And I remember they always had an attitude. All of them. All of the motherfuckers had an attitude. Every single one had an attitude. And when I say they had an attitude for no reason, if they didn't want to deal with you, they didn't have to deal with you. Let's throw it off on Rhonda. So I'm just like, it pissed me off, like I said, because I still had to be professional. And I'm going to tell you why it humbled me. Because I was that girl on the other side of the window. And I always kept my cool with them. They never did. See, you females, you guys stay far out. Like, you know, you got to get up early, early in the morning to get here. I just hit the block and I'm there. You know? So, they were always like, I don't see how you deal with these people. Da, da, da. And it's like, I had to let them know. I let one of them know because I was that girl on the other side of the window. So I'm never going to look down on them, like, or start talking crazy. Not at all. So I would help them fill out their paperwork. If it was like Oakland Housing Authority having any, I would let them know if they needed transfers, recertifications. I was the one that helped them. Not the workers. The workers just was strictly wanting to do paperwork. Nothing else, nothing less. They didn't even want to come up to the window. And the times they did come up to the window, they were cool with me. And I'd be like, go up there and can you please go up there and talk to her? Like, you know, like that's, I know her. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, can you go up there and talk to her? And I'd be like, okay. But again, I was that girl on the other side of the window. And I think that's why I was humble through it all. Like, I was really humble through it all. And again, with my mom just keep telling me, smile, Rhonda, keep smiling. It'll get you far. You never know who you're going to run into. Just keep smiling through it all. Because it got to the point where I was like, you know what? I don't like how they talk to people. Their customer service was trash. You know what I'm saying? But it's okay. Like, I was like, I'm at the front desk. I'm going to handle it. I'm going to make sure everybody get the attention that they need. Appointments. I was setting up appointments. I started setting up appointments with them. I was calling them. Like, hey, you're going to have inspection next week. I went out my way. I went above and beyond to do the things that a worker was supposed to do, but I did. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, you about to have inspection, they're going to mail you some paper. I was the one that mailed the paperwork off. So basically, all they did was the input. But far as the customer service, the common, the irate customers down, like from, oh, you from Berkeley, you know, getting like not cussed out, but like, you know, Rhonda, this is not cool. And I seen some stuff. Like, when I say it was people that would come in there and complain about, oh, my rent is, it went up $5. And I remember asking, I don't even know who she was. I just said, well, how much is your rent? It's $35 and it went up $5. I was like devastated. Like, that shit humbled me. Like, this lady's rent is like $30 and she's coming here complaining. And now I'm not on Section 8 no more. I'm paying $1,200 for a two-bedroom. So I'm like, okay, like, wow. I never said anything. I just knew that, okay, she's not getting a lot of money. It's not that, oh, girl, you need to shut up because your rent is $30. No, you didn't have the income. So I see why you complain, because that little $5, I mean, it mattered, but it's cutting back from us some milk. And if you have kids, that shit matters. It adds up. Again, God placed me in that particular area in that housing for a reason. And I know what the reason was. So one day my boss called me back in the office and she was telling me that they wanted to hire me. This was like, I passed my probation and they wanted me to like do more. She wants to show me how to do inspections. She wanted me to just do more within the facility. And okay, that's perfectly fine. And I kid you not, like, I was making the time, like, I got good in there about $35 an hour. I want to say $35 an hour. So I was set. Like, everything was set. I was set. You know what I'm saying? And by her just pushing me to be the best person I could be, and the classes helped, the women helped. And the only reason why I think that I got that position is, she said, how do you, she said, I've had so many good emails sent from you just having so much patience. So what is your secret? Tell me your secret. And I was like, honestly, you want me to tell you? And she was like, yeah, I want to know your secret of, she's like, I'm not complaining because, you know, it's making us look good because you're the face of, you know, they see you when they come in. And I had to let her know, because I used to be that woman on the other side of the window. I used to be that woman getting $500 a month, and I had to figure it out. I used to be that person on the other side of the window. So I never forget that. And I don't know what could happen. I could still be that person on the other side of the window. You never know. You just never know what could happen. You know? I said, so whether you pick me or not to be the person for the job, it's not, I'm not qualified. Like, I'm qualified, but I don't have, I didn't go to school for, like, I didn't take no classes to become a, like, certified how to deal with city, you know, like that. Like, I don't have no certificates. I don't have none of that. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't even my plan. I'm just trying to get me and my kids in a comfortable, again, I want us to live comfortably, you know? So I think that's what sold her, that I don't have degrees. I didn't have a degree. All I had was a high school diploma and a story to tell. And my story was, I was that woman on the other side of the window. So I know how I want to be treated. I want to be treated with respect. I want to be looked at as I am a human being. You're not helping me. But I needed the housing. You know what I'm saying? Like any other single parent would. So it always humbled me. And I told her, I'm going to forever be humble because I went through that. So if you never been through it, you don't know how to deal with people that's bitching about $5 or they raise my rent. I'm pissed off. I want to know why. I get it. And that's what got me through most of my time there. I got it because I was that woman. So I understand when you go come up there and you be mad. Did the workers understand? No, they would talk shit. Not about them, but just bitching. Like, they were very bitchy. But they were my partners. Like, they were cool. We were all cool. But I knew it was like some that was okay. But some of them were mean. Like, mean. When I tell you, like, they would just... They were fucking mean. That's all I'm going to say. Like, they weren't the nicest. They weren't just mean like that, but they were. They were just doing their job, I should say. And it's like, you can't make friends in that type of job with a customer. It's no making friends because then they're going to start asking for stuff again. When on my off day, Saturday and Sunday, and I would hang out with the kids and my kid's father, it was like, people was like, hey, can I talk to your... I need to talk to you about my housing. It was like, okay, talk to me on Monday. It was starting to be like that. Like, okay, talk to me Monday. And they would just be like, oh, but can I? No. Like, I really had to start like, no, this is my time where I just needed to clear my head. So I get it. And it makes sense why the women worked so far out. Because me living in Berkeley, me working in Berkeley, they knowing that I work at the housing authority, if they had a question, oh, why not just go up to her? It was like where my kid's father was like, hey, just check. Don't talk. Like, talk to her on Monday about it. She's off today. And it started to get so stressful. Like, oh, can you do this? Or argue you 1,000 to put me up to the... I don't got that type of pull. Like, bro, I don't got that type of pull. I'm not even the right... I wouldn't do that. Like, that's not who I am. All I could do is tell you, like, in a week from now, they going to open their wait list or some shit like that. But that's the only information I can give you. I can't do nothing more. And I'm not about to lose my job for nobody. Nobody. I got my ass up. And I worked and humbled myself for that job. I met the right people. I was smiling every day, even when it hurted. Like, it literally hurted to smile. But they can never say I was ever disrespectful. And this is like, I say that with so much integrity and confidence that you can never say that I was disrespectful to you. You can never say nothing. Like, when you're, if you needed another check stub, I was like, they're going to ask you for another check stub. Just go ahead and get me another check stub. I was, had it all together up there. And one day, I was just at my wit's fucking end. And I just didn't want to be there anymore. This is like after like 5 years, maybe. I had put in enough. It was like, it's time for me to go. It's time for me to do something else. I don't want to do this no more because, again, it's the constant... Hey, can I talk to you? Hey, this, hey, that. It was like, it was to the point where I was asking, you know, do you guys have any other openings? I think for like a part of that time of her seeing that I didn't really care for the front desk no more, And I don't know why. It just got tiresome. I think they start having, like, workers. And, again, they work. It was, like, not interns. I don't want to. Yeah, they had, like, other interns start coming in. And then I started being trained on inspections. And I started doing that. And I was doing that for a while. And so I got I learned everything so quick. But it was, like, that job, that was my story. It was the best thing, but it was like it was too much for my brain at that time in my life. It was like being bothered, like, can you do this, can you do that, can you do my paperwork? It would be people that would come to my mom's house if they see my car there and be like, can you help me, like, can you help me do my paperwork? And to me, it was repetitive work. So I would finish a packet in 5 seconds. Like, that's how fast, like, I could scam through that shit. Like, okay, you cool. Bring back this, 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 and this, and this. Throw it in her box, bam. You know? But for them, it seems so hard. Even my mama used to be like, can you show me what to do, or can you help me? It was like, yeah, just, okay. So, it still humbled me. But I still felt like it's time for me to go. Like, in about a year, I'm going to go back to school. And I wanted to do hair at the time and, you know, open up my own business. And I was doing hair on the side. So I was, you know, dealing with my 3 kids. It was a point where the rent in Berkeley was ridiculously high. And I think smart. You know, my kid's father wanted to buy a house, and I was like, I don't want to buy a house right now, because I knew, like I was telling him, I don't know how long I'm going to be there. I don't want to be there very long, because it's starting to put a toll on my mental. And again, I don't like my mental to be played with. And when I say mental, it was like, you can't help everybody. And me being an empath at times, I don't even want to call myself an empath, because I just say a gift of reading people's energy. It started affecting me. I never knew why it started affecting me. But I would pray, like, I'm tired of this job. You know, I can't. It's affecting my mental. And I would tell the housing workers there, like, girl, this shit is kind of affecting my mental. I don't know how long I'm going to be here. And they would be like, just hold it together, pull through. And I think I got another job offer and I left. But I left on good terms, you know. I love everybody that I came across. All those women impacted my life in some type of way. One of them, she was very hard. She made me just hard in dealing with the customers that didn't know me, or that was coming from Oakland, that was porting in from Oakland. Some people was porting out, but I always kept it respectful. And they're like, I know you from somewhere. I'd be like, oh yeah, the Berkeley Housing Authority. Like, oh, you're the girl at the front desk. I'm like, yeah, that's me. So I went to start my own business. I'm happy with my business that I started. I had started my business long after that. I took classes. I did cosmetology school. I went for to be an esthetician. I got my esthetician license. And I never pushed the esthetician. But after working in that fast-paced job, I wanted something calm where I could be there and sit and just relax when they relax, if that makes sense. It wasn't just so irate and just dealing with a lot of people. It was like on my time. And so I didn't like really want to do hair. But again, I started going to school. The women gave me a going away party and I left there, trained the next person, did all that. And that was my story of working at a housing authority. And I turned out a beautiful woman, and I always remain humble through it all, you know. So thank you for listening to my story time. I didn't want to make this too long, but you know, it's to say, I wanted to share this with you because I will never forget where I came from. And I was very glad that I could, you know, pass the voucher down to my mom, because she was older and she needed it, you know. And like, I was capable of getting up working, and that's what I did. So never give up on yourself. Push yourself to the limit. Like, I push myself. Like, I'm very hard on myself. So never give up on yourself. If you got to look in the phone book. Well, it's easier now. It's so much easier now. Because we don't have phone books, but we got Google. And if I had to do it again, I would do it all over again. because I wouldn't say that's the best job that I've had. But when I get jobs, I left making the last, with the raise and everything and the bonuses and all that, about probably $37 an hour. And somebody would think I would be crazy to, like, you left a job that was making $37 an hour. Are you crazy? No, but my mental was more important. And I honestly say my mental was more important than the money. Because it was a lot of times where I learned that I had anxiety, and I was learning that I had anxiety at the time. And that wasn't okay. That wasn't okay. When I had an anxiety attack that was so bad where I had to be, like, took to the hospital in an ambulance. And it was a black lady. And she told me, she's like, what are you doing? What kind of work do you do? And I told her. And thank God she was black. Because she looked at me and said, do you want to be here for your kids? And I said, yeah, I remember just bawling, crying. I never knew why I was crying. It was uncontrollably. And I said, yes, I do. And I remember her saying, don't kill yourself because you're not good. Like, you got to get yourself together. And after that, I put in my notice. They gave me a party. I kept in contact with all of them. And I said, bye. I had to go. It's time for a new chapter in my life. And, you know, I'm cool with everybody up there. Like, they're so nice. Like, everybody's just so nice. And I love to say, okay, I left here, but I didn't leave just to leave. I left because I went back to school. I got my license. I did this. I did that. There's so much more to life. So I'm just so thankful that I came across that in my lifespan with them. That season was very well, very good. I cleared up my credit. I got myself together mentally, physically, and emotionally. And after leaving there, I got myself together mentally, physically, and emotionally. So always take care of your mental, and mental health is serious. And, you know, if you have any situations where you need to talk to somebody, you can always type in BetterHelp. Always contact BetterHelp. They're reasonable. They will set you up with a provider. Within the next day, you can be talking to somebody. And take care of your mental health. Make sure your mental health is up to beat. Don't slack on yourself, because nobody will take care of you the way you take care of yourself. And always know that it is somebody out there that can talk to you. And again, you can type in or Google, set an appointment up with BetterHelp and get help. Get help. I did it, and you could do it too. Thank you for watching. Bye.